Well, good morning, Tabernacle. We welcome you into this space. Just so grateful for the opportunity again to gather together. Hey, just wanted to mention what a historic week in our country, in our nation. And I want to encourage you to continue to pray as we move towards January 20th. Continue to pray for our country, continue to pray for unity in our country. I just want to remind you that you are a follower of Jesus, first and foremost. And so in the days ahead, in the conversations that you have, in the engagements that you participate in, remember that Jesus is on the throne, and that he is ultimately king over our lives. Amen? Amen. Amen. Just thought we needed to be reminded of that in light of everything that's happening in our country. This morning, we want to take a look at Psalm 104 as we continue in our series of the formation through the Psalms. Psalm 104 is rich with the language of stewardship. It's rich with the language of stewardship, and it really does capture this idea or the larger concept of what it means to be a steward. When you hear the word stewardship, what immediately comes to mind? That's a question. That's a real question. What immediately comes to mind when you hear the word stewardship?
Overseer.
Good. Good. For many, when they hear the word stewardship, they hear the word money. And although money is part of it, and giving money is part of the concept of stewardship, stewardship is so much broader. As many of you have suggested, an overseer, managing something someone else has. But in some spaces, the word stewardship has been used interchangeably with giving, giving money, and giving campaigns. And I believe in some ways that's caused some confusion for the people of God, and even in some ways may have malformed us. A proper biblical understanding of stewardship and learning to live in this idea or live into what it means to be a steward is absolutely essential to our growth as a follower of Jesus. It is absolutely essential in our growth as a body of believers. It is absolutely essential if we are going to live out the vision and the mission that God has called us as a body of believers. It is absolutely essential for us to understand what stewardship entails. The Greek word translated stewardship is oikonomia. Oikonomia. Can you say that? Oikonomia. Oikos means house. Nomos means management, and together it means the management of a household. Oikonomia is also the source, the root to our word economy. So from this term and versions of this word that is used throughout the New Testament scripture, we come to understand that one who manages a house for an owner, or one who tends to the economy that another has supplied, is this idea of stewardship. Now, there's a major theme throughout Scripture. There's a major theme throughout Scripture about our God's desire to dwell among his people. And this morning, I don't have enough time to track and trace that theme throughout Scripture, but if you'll just take a moment to think about it, our word tabernacle means to dwell. It is this idea of God's desire to dwell with humanity is captured in the very name of our church. It points to this truth. Psalm 104 retraces the story of creation. It retraces the story of creation, and it underscores that all that was made by God. All that exists, all that's been created has been made by him. The writer of Psalms 104 does, in a very poetic expression, talks to us about the creative work of God. And he really captures what happens in Genesis chapter 1. So in the early verses, he presents this poetically. He presents this poetic idea of establishing, God establishing a tent to dwell in. He creates this idea, poetically speaking, of God developing and creating a house for him to dwell in. Talks about a tent for himself and setting up his palace and how God creates this home in his new creation. In verses 1-4, we see this idea of God creating his house. All of creation represents the house of God. And humanity has been given the awesome and esteemed privilege to give oversight and be the keepers of God's house. So remember our definition of oikonomia, our definition as one who manages the house for an owner or one who tends the economy that has already been established by another. As I think about this idea of stewardship, I've identified today's message entitled, All is Gift. Can you say that with me? All is gift. All is gift. Psalm 24 says that the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and all who live in it. Deuteronomy 10:4 says, to the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth, and everything in it. God has created all things. In Genesis, we see the word of God executing powerfully its creative process. Each verse says, and God said, that's the word of God at work, executing the very creative process throughout Genesis. And the word of God said, and God said, and God said, and every time God spoke, something came into existence. We see the word of God executing the creative display of God's handiwork in the world. And John, in his gospel, tells us it was the word who was with God in the beginning, and it was the word who became flesh and dwelled among us. It was Jesus who was actively involved in this creative process. And John tells us it was by his word that all things were made that had ever been made, that God through Jesus Christ created all things. Colossians tells us not only did he create all things, not only was it created by him, but it was created for him. Are you listening? All things that were made by him. And without him, nothing that was made has been made. All is God's. Even humanity. And all is gift because of that. So the psalmist begins in Psalm 104. He says, praise the Lord. He says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. He bursts out in praise. As he reflects and as he looks around at creation, his heart is overwhelmed and he bursts in praise. He says, praise Yahweh, oh my soul. All that is within me, one other psalmist declares, ought to praise God. And so as you and I look at creation and as you and I understand the creative process of God, as we look around and see the sun and the moon and we see how uniquely everything works together in this world, I've been amazed at looking out into the world, seeing this globe, and for some reason, no matter how far we go to the east or the west, we never fall off. It's amazing. And the psalmist begins as he bursts out in praise and reflects on the greatness and the glory of God and the creative work of God. He says, praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps himself in light as with a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent. Here's that idea of building a house, and lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters. He makes the clouds his chariot and rides on the wings of the wind. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. The first idea that I want to lift before you as we think about this idea of stewardship formation is that you and I ought to praise God for the greatness and the glory displayed in created things, in the creation of all things. We ought to praise God. We ought to celebrate the goodness of God. We ought to celebrate the greatness of God. We ought to look around and recognize just how quite interesting God's creation is. And it's in fact an invitation for you and I to worship our Creator. Now, there are other creation narratives that are out there. And many of these pagan narratives point to the worship of the created things. But the psalmist, the psalmist, as he lifts up the greatness of the sun and the moon, as he lifts up the greatness of God's created order, he never points to worshiping the creature or the creation more than the creator himself. In all of this psalm, he points us to the fact that it is the Creator who is worthy of worship. Verse 4, we get a glimpse of his supreme power. He makes winds his messengers, flames of fire his servants. Verse 24, we get a picture of his wisdom. How many are your works, Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of all of your creatures. God creates. The God of the Bible is concerned with the material world. In fact, after he creates, day after day, he declares the Hebrew word tov. He says, it is good. It is pleasing to the heart of God, the creative work that I have done. The God of the Bible is interested in the physical world and the material world, and it matters to him. Not only has God created the physical world, gotten his hands dirty, so to speak, but God sustains that same world that he's created. That God didn't just leave the world to fend for himself, but God in his creative process also sustains the very creation that is before us. So I want to challenge you. Not only should you be brought into this space of praising God, that we should also thank God. We should thank God for his sustenance. We should thank God for his provision. We should thank God for actively and abundantly sustaining what he's created. That's the second point. today. Thank God for actively and abundantly sustaining what he has created. I want to jump down to verse 9. It says, you set a boundary that cannot cross. Never again will they cover the earth. He's talking about the waters. They flowed over the mountains. They went down into the valleys to the place you assigned for them. And then you set a boundary. He says the waters, the boundaries have been set with the waters that they will never overtake the earth again. When he separated the waters from the land and gave firmament, God set the boundaries and the waters will only go as far as God has allowed them to. Verse 10, he makes springs pour water into the ravines. It flows between the mountains. They give water to all the beasts of the fields. The wild donkey quenches their thirst. The birds of the sky nest by the waters. They sing among the branches. He waters the mountains from his upper chambers. The land is satisfied by the fruit of his work. He makes grass grow for the cattle and plants for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth. Look at what he's saying. He allows water to flow. He gives life-giving water for the animals. He causes it, the rain to fall so that there's provision of thirst to humanity and animals. He gives vegetation in the land so that not only the animals can eat, but so can humanity. The scripture says in verse 15, he gives wine that gladdens human hearts, oil to make their faces shine, and bread that sustains their hearts. The trees of the Lord are well watered, the cedars of Lebanon that he planted. God allows humanity to draw wine from the crops that were developed and created. He allows us to draw oil from the vegetation that he's created. He allows us to make bread, and it sustains our lives from the things that God has created. He gives us the cedar of Lebanon that we can actually use and create places of habitation. God is actively involved in sustaining his creation. He provides for humanity. He provides for animals. Verse 27 says, all creatures look to you to give them their food at the proper time. His benevolent provision of food at the right time and in the proper season. Verses 29 and 30, when you hide your face, they are terrified. When you take away their breath, they die and return to the dust. When you send your spirit, they are created and you renew the face of the ground. Our very dependence in life is on Creator God and his sustenance. We ought to thank him. We ought to thank God. Right now, thank God. We have the responsibility as image bearers. We have the responsibility as image bearers of God to take care of what God has created, to take care of what God has given us. And God calls you and I to a place of collaboration. Now this is what blows me away. This is what blows me away, that God would not only provide for us, create for us, give, sustain us in his creation, but that God would call and invite us into an opportunity to collaborate with him in that process. That God would in fact use humanity to be able to even provide for his creation. That God would use humanity. So here's what he does. He creates the house. He builds the house. And on the final day, he creates humanity. And I always wondered, like, if humanity is the crown of his creation, why didn't he create humanity first? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But perhaps humanity needed to understand that all is gift. Because we so quickly get caught up in what we think we can do. We get so caught up in thinking that it was our own ingenuity. God builds the house and then brings Adam and Eve into the house and says, look at what I've built and look at what I've provided for you. All of this is a gift to you. I'm calling you to collaborate with me in this process of developing, cultivating, and advancing this space. So here's my third point. Here's the third idea I want to lift as we're thinking about this idea of stewardship formation and as we're trying to think biblically around this idea that you and I are called to collaborate with God in fulfilling his creative intent for the common good of his creation. So God is actively sustaining his creation. And part of that was for you and I to collaborate with him in that process of sustaining and taking care of his creation. I just want to point to a couple of scriptures. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28 says this, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in what? In his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. They were designed, you and I, humanity, designed to be and to bear the reflection of Christ, the reflection of God in the world. We were to be his representatives on the earth, to care for his creation with his intent in mind. That you and I would become junior partners with God. That we would, in fact, collaborate with him in the creative process. Genesis 2:15 says it this way. The Lord God took the man and put him in the garden to do what? To work it and to take care of it. Those words in that particular verses, this idea, it's the same idea, tending to the flock, tending to creation is this same idea of carrying out priestly duties. So as we work the land, it is in fact worship to God, is what Genesis is telling us. And so this idea is that you and I have been afforded the blessing of enjoying the beauty of creation, of participating in the creative process, and in being part of God's plan and intent to sustain the world. God's idea of taking care of his creation is to use you to do it. We're a part of God's intention and plan. If you read scripture, we started in the garden. At the end of the story, we're living in a city. It is God's plan and purpose that you would take the raw materials of the garden and that you would cultivate them, you would develop them, and that ultimately it would lead us to a city. You and I are to represent God's interests in the world. Now, I love this, and I want you to reflect on this. We are not God's employees. We are not God's employees in this process. But we are beloved sons and daughters. We are beloved sons and daughters who are brought into an apprenticeship opportunity, who are brought into an opportunity to understand the family business with the design of inheriting it all in the end. Did you hear what I said? We are not employees. We are beloved sons and daughters who God has brought into an apprenticing relationship so that you and I could begin to understand the family business, ultimately with the purpose of inheriting it all in the new creation and the new earth. How do we live into that? How do we begin to engage in handling the Father's household in a way that reflects his image in the world? That's my final point. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to manage responsibly and wisely all that God has placed in your care. We have an opportunity to allow the image of God to blossom in us and through us in how we engage with the care of all that he's placed in our hands. So here it is. I simply want you to think about everything that God has put in your hands, everything that God has given you, and begin asking yourself the question, how is that supposed to be used in the family business? How is that supposed to be utilized in a way that the image of God is being reflected in how I handle that in a way that brings glory to our Father? You know, Genesis chapter 39 and 4 is a great example. I don't know, do we have that? Yes. Great example. Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. He's talking about Potiphar. Potiphar put him in charge of his household. There it is. And he entrusted to his care everything he owned. Joseph is a great example of what it means to have been placed in charge and in responsible for the household of another. He's a great example of someone who managed responsibly and wisely. Now, I want to suggest there are some ordinary forms of stewardship. If you're a student, an ordinary form of stewardship is being a student. If your educational experience has been given to you, it is an opportunity for you to steward what God has given you. Your work, everyday work, is a basic stewardship responsibility. You have an opportunity to reflect the image of God in your workspace. We talk about being the tzaddikim in our city. We talk about being the righteous ones. What does righteousness mean in this idea of stewardship? And how do we steward our righteousness? See, many of us, when we hear righteousness, we think of personal holiness. But righteousness goes beyond personal holiness. Personal holiness is part of it, but righteousness goes beyond that. It goes to a place of being concerned for the other. It's having God's perspective for the other. It's being able to look at the relationships around you and dealing in those relationships with fairness and equity and love. Righteousness says that I'm willing to disadvantage myself for the benefit and the blessing of others because I realize that I'm in a collaboration with a Father who's at work in the world, who wants the world to understand who he is and who he wants the world to understand that what his image is like. He wants the world to understand and get a correct view of who he is, and he's placed his representatives, you and I, his stewards to demonstrate that. all is gift. And until we recognize and realize that everything that we have comes from God, until we begin to recognize and realize that all that's in our hands comes from the hand of God, until we begin to see, instead of thinking it's our own ingenuity, our own creativity, until we begin to see that every good and perfect gift comes from above, and it's because of God that I am who I am today. Can I get an amen? Amen. We're called to manage responsibly, and if we're not intentional, if we're not intentional in allowing the image of God to be reflected in our lives and allow it to emerge more and more, we risk competing priorities coming in and taking over. How do we reflect God's love and compassion to the world? How do we demonstrate his righteousness and his sense of justice for others? How do we begin to live in a space of compassion and compassion for the hurting? How do we begin to see others and see the needs of others from the perspective of God? How do we begin to live in humility and open-handedness? Did y'all hear that? How do we begin to live with open hands? Because all is gift. See, think about it. Think about it for a moment. Think about it for a moment. Because it's so easy to take credit for our accomplishments. But think about it for a moment. He gave you breath this morning. Gift. He gave you time, gift. He gave you strength and health, gift. Notice that it all comes from the raw materials that you use to create the new thing that you created that made you money. Guess what? It was a gift from him. Because only God create ex nihilo, something out of nothing. You had to have something in order to create the thing. Guess what? The very idea that came in your brain, gift. All is gift. All is gift. And until we begin to realize that everything that we have is a gift from God, we cannot live into this space of being a faithful steward of what God has given us. Your money is his. Your education is his. Your wealth is to be used for his glory. Your influence is to be used for his glory. All that you have, all that God has placed in your hands, your relationships, all that you have, all is gift. And you and I have an opportunity to advance the good purposes and the intent of God when we're faithful in managing what God has placed in our hands. So just start with two things this week. What has he given me? And what are the needs that he's calling me to feel based on what he's given me? See, to whom much is given, much is required. And when you begin to reflect on all the good things that God has provided in your life, open your eyes to see how he wants you to use those. It wasn't just for you. He gave it so that you could collaborate with him in actively sustaining the rest of creation. So praise him. Thank him. Collaborate with him. And let's manage wisely.